Pop Spotting 54.
Tuesday, May 24th, 2011. Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I am Ryan.
And we're back with another show already.
We're out of our minds.
We're probably a little bit over-enthusiastic, but we'll get over it.
I think we will. This is, you know, but we're moving quickly because we want to fail quickly and try this out. And so far we're having blast, but this is just our second outing. Or 54th. Sorry, 54th outing. In any case, we're back at the mics. What are we talking about today, Jen?
Well, it's Tuesday, so TV?
TV Tuesday.
TV Tuesday.
And we want to talk about Fringe.
Yes, this is our new favorite show.
That's right. It's a show on Fox. It was just renewed for its fourth season. It's got Anna Torv, Joshua Jackson, John Noble, Lance Reddick, a lot of great actors and ensemble show. But we took a while to come around to Fringe.
We actually caught the first episode at Comic-Con.
Before it aired.
And I really was not that enthusiastic about it. We were still watching Lost at the time, and there seemed to be a lot of parallels, and we thought, it's just going to be another stupid copy of Lost.
Right,
so.
And then the interesting thing is we watched both we got an advanced screening of both Fringe and V, and between the two, we put our money on V.
We did.
And that was not the right bet to make in any case. But, you know, we caught episodes on and off, but a lot of people that we love and respect, hi there, loved Fringe. So we decided to get the DVDs and give it a shot, and oh boy.
We went through it in about 2 weeks, the entire two seasons we went through.
Just nonstop.
Uh-huh. And actually, we saw the finale of season two right as we were getting on the plane to go to Comic-Con last year.
That's right, because we didn't want to get spoiled by the Fringe panel at Comic-Con, so we said we had to finish it before we got there. So there we are at Gate 54, catching our flight to San Diego, red-eye, sitting in the terminal watching that season finale. And it was one of those mind-blowing, you know, big season-ending cliffhanger endings.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
I was so excited to see the ending, and you know, that made me just more excited to see the Fringe panel.
All right, well, so a little bit of context. This is a science fiction show. There's no bones about it. It's outright that. It's a lot of people, like you said, do consider it the heir apparent to Lost, and a lot of the fans of the show that we're hearing from are our same friends that loved Lost. For a newcomer, they would kind of call it like the new X-Files or the new Twilight Zone, but it was created by J.J. Abrams of Lost. And the other two creators are familiar to us, Alex Kurtzman and Roberto Orci, who are now with Hawaii 5-0, but we'll get to that.
And then. They also were in, they also produced Star Trek.
That's right, the big film that came out. So here's the story. We've got Anna Torv. She's playing FBI agent
Olivia Dunham,
and she has to babysit a crazy mad scientist and his frustrated son, and that's John Noble and Joshua Jackson as Walt and Peter Bishop, and they're working in a special division of the FBI to figure out weird things that are happening. So
sort of like the X-Files,
right.
But at the same time, she's really getting to know Walter and Peter, and they start to develop kind of a family relationship, and she's at the same time working to find out the cause of all of these really weird events, and these two things in her life kind of
come together. Well, I liked how the show evolved, and it started as the case of the week, the alien procedural, actually it was a very gross show very early on. It was like, we're going to push the boundaries of like sticking fingers in eye sockets and, oh, look, it's someone's tongue. I mean, they were loving the special effects in that respect. The prop guy must have been in heaven with all that fake blood. But it started with that case by case, day to episode by episode. But they very quickly learned, I think, that people liked that because you didn't need to know the whole story to dive in, but you needed something to keep you tuning in. And it didn't take them long to develop an underlying story. Storyline, a long, yes, conspiracy involving powerful people in powerful places, and actually, in many ways, the show's season-by-season evolution kind of mimicked these big steps that Lost took.
Season one kind of focuses on these big, huge conspiracies,
right, like the Dharma
Initiative conspiracies.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Season two, we find out about the characters' pasts and how they connect with each other.
Flashbacks.
And then this last season was all about it. It kind of went where we thought Lost might have been going with alternate universes,
right,
and time
right.
travel.
And the big twist of this season finale that just aired, and if you haven't seen it, I guess we shouldn't give that necessarily away.
No,
but they took the season five of Lost step with Fringe, which again, you see that happen at the end of the series, and you're like, oh my god, where are they going to go from here? So as a still recovering Lost fan, there is that massive sense of excitement and anticipation and appreciation for the endless possibilities that are ahead. And I'm definitely loving the ride.
I'm loving the ride a lot. And the best part, I think, of this show are the performances by the actors. John Noble, I don't know why he doesn't have an Emmy yet.
He should. He is hands down a fantastic actor, because sure, when you first meet him in season one, and as we described him as a mad scientist, that's okay. You can do the Christopher Lloyd thing for a little while, but he added a great deal of depth and affection. He seemed like a real person, not a caricature. And then you get to where there's an opportunity as an actor to play two roles, and he did
and
them both well.
And he is playing two roles. He's playing the same person, but it's two entirely different versions of the same person. And he does both so well. It's just, it's, you know, he's brilliant.
And the relationship between him and his son, played by Joshua Jackson, I think is well done. I mean, I wasn't sure about how the chemistry was working with any of these characters when the show started, but that's true of any new series. But at this point, the group of them all work together exactly like a family. It feels natural. I mean, Anna Torv in particular was definitely hard for me to get used to. She seemed a little too distant and cold, but I think that was intentional, and I think now it's paid off as we've seen her
character
grow.
Yeah, now in retrospect, I know that that was intentional because of what we come to learn about her later.
Now, of course, Lance Reddick is in the show, and he's in almost every show, even the shows we're watching on DVD, and wherever he shows up, we're happy to see
him. He's been on both Oz. He did a short stint on Lost, and he's on one of our other favorite shows, The Wire.
Yeah, we'll get to that one on a future show, and I would have to say the side characters are fantastic. I'm a huge fan of Jessica Nicole. I think you've got a little crush on her as well.
Yeah, I do.
Astrid.
I want to have coffee
partner.
With Astrid.
At least that.
Call
Absolutely.
Me Astrid.
I'm sure she's listening. So we definitely, definitely love Fringe. And it's doing not bad. I mean, it did in this last season move to the Friday of Death.
Yeah, everybody thought that that spelled doom for this show, yeah, but it's actually done pretty well in this
Well,
slot.
When it first debuted, it had 9 million viewers. It was a Tuesday night show. Then they moved it to Thursday in the second season, 6 million viewers. And now they're down to 3 to 5 million here in the third season. But again, it did get renewed for that fourth season. And because of the big twist, I mean, many twists, but the giant twist at the end of the last season finale, season 3, just a couple of weeks ago, we have no idea where the show can go from this point.
So I heard some interesting news about the show, actually. Mm-hmm. David Fury, you know who that is?
Right, he was the writer for Lost in its fantastic first
season. He wrote Walkabout.
Okay.
So he's like, he's our hero.
Okay.
So he's going to be on the writing staff this season.
Well, that's great. That's great. I mean, for season 4, he's going to be in there.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so definitely a lot to look forward to. I think it's pretty clear that if you're not watching Fringe, we now recommend it wholeheartedly.
Yeah, go out and get the DVDs, like,
you
right
gotta.
Now.
Get them at Costco, in fact. That's where I got them. And certainly it didn't have that strongest impression when we watched it, but now I felt like we missed it. But it's not too late to catch a ride at this point, and it's definitely worth watching. But because we are fans of the show, and because we did just have that spectacular season 3 finale, I want to talk about that for a bit. So if you don't want to be spoiled, you probably don't want to listen. All right, Jen, did you love that ending, or are you confused as everyone else?
I loved it, and I'm confused.
Okay, so we had the two universes in this coming Armageddon, this coming apocalypse, turning on this dangerous doomsday machine, and then when they finally get things connected, Joshua Jackson disappears. Peter Bishop disappears. The point and the reason why this conflict and rift happened in the first place, the theft of Peter from one world to the other world, is now gone. And according to the observers, he now never existed. So, I mean, I'm not sure what that means. Does that mean that Peter was a construct of these observers, these mysterious beings that see the bigger picture, and he just never was there, or he was only introduced to connect these two universes?
I think, I don't know, my interpretation was that what we saw way in the future, 2027, or what year was
right,
that?
Right.
Okay, whatever happened in that time caused a paradox and caused Peter not to ever be born in the past.
Right. See, this is a Miles and Hurley conversation in a cabin right here. This is the,
yes.
You know, how can we be here? Ha ha, your theory is wrong. I have no idea exactly what happened, but that just the last half hour of season 3 was suddenly that season of Lost, and it sounded like that, you know, Walter Bishop was going to send the future Peter Bishop back to the present to just because he had a full understanding of what that future represented, and then try to warn the people, his friends, against taking the steps that would lead to that future.
Right.
And I guess his consciousness traveled between the two times the same way that we had Desmond in Flashes Before Your Eyes. I mean, the Lost parallels are mind-boggling, but I think they're also doing it well. This is not a carbon copy of
Lost. And they're going in an entirely different direction, and they're approaching it in an entirely different way. I'm seeing it as more like the science part. This is going to be the scientific ending that we might have been looking for Lost.
Well, I do like that, again, there is sort of the case of the week, so if you just dive in, it's still enjoyable, but it is certainly the longer arc storylines that we are all addicted to. So that is our take on Fringe. You can get the last 5 episodes, including that spectacular ending, on Hulu and on Fox Online. Of course, you can buy the entire 3rd season episode by episode right now for $1.99 on Amazon Instant Video, but you have to wait until September 6th for the season 3 DVDs. But hey, you have all summer to catch up on the previous 2 seasons.
So if you have anything to say about Fringe or anything else, please fire away. Feedback is what keeps us going, so we'd really love to hear your feedback on this or anything else we talk about here on Pop Spotting.
You can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808. Drop us a line at feedback@popspotting.net. You can also leave a comment on the blog for us and for all the other listeners of Pop Spotting, all 3 of you, at popspotting.net.
You can also connect with us at facebook.com/popspotting or twitter.com/popspotting.
Any idea what we're going to talk about on our next show?
I read a lot, so maybe we'll get to a book or something.
Ah, that's right. If my girlfriend is my iPhone, your boyfriend is your Kindle. So we'll do a little bit of book talk here on Pop Spotting. For now, thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and mahalo to you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan. Aloha.